morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's good to see those people who made it here today. We seem to have a much smaller gathering than usual. I was talking to George about that. He said that he had prayed that this church be filled, and it's filled with the people who need to be here. And one thing that I really enjoy is that we also have visitors today. We have visitors from California and from South Dakota. So welcome. And welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We don't have too many announcements because most of our groups have gone dark for summer, but we do continue to serve over at the food pantry, and our volunteers for tomorrow are Shirley Gorman and Linda Morgan. Are there any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able for the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, Give Me Jesus. It is number 770.
Thank you.
volunteer to be an acolyte and light our candles this morning? I know, we sing, "Give me Jesus," and I'm saying, "Give me light."
But isn't that sort of what I'm saying?
It is indeed. Give me Jesus, give me light. Mm-hmm. Let us continue with our service. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Reading is from the 19th chapter of the 1st of Kings. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, and Abel-Mehola as prophet in your place. So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them. Using the equipment from the oxen, he boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life. Okay. The second reading is from, isn't it a psalm? It's a psalm next, right? Because it's not in the same order here. Okay. It is, but it's the third, not the second. Okay. Let us read Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, "You are my Lord, my good above all other."
All my delight is in the God that are in my life, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out to you.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My mouth reaching close to blessing I am. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I set the Lord always before me, because God is at my right hand.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me drearily, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay, the second reading is from the fifth chapter of Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" And he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I recently saw on Facebook a post of various ways to say no without saying no. Have you ever had to do that? You need to find a way to say this is not the right time. One of my friends likes to use this one. Let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. It looks like I have something else that's planned. Can't do it this time. You know, I'd really like to, but... And in the Bible, we see many, many, many excuses. Anytime God calls a prophet, the prophet tends to have an excuse. God called Moses, and Moses said, how about my brother? And then you had the call to Jeremiah, who said, I can't, I'm too young. The prophet Isaiah, Lord, I'm a person of unclean lips, among people of unclean lips. There's always a reason that we can say no, isn't there? Even no to God. Have you ever said no to God? No one here? No one's going to admit it? All right, I'll be the first one. I have said no to God. Or more accurately, Lord, I hear you, but... How am I supposed to do what you're asking me to do? You're asking me to do the impossible. How am I supposed to do that? I must be misunderstanding you, Lord. When we're in seminary, over and over and over again, we are asked to tell our call story. Right, Steve? Yeah. And over, I've heard the same call story from people. They heard the call from God, and they said, Lord, are you talking to me? I don't think so. No. Mine was, Lord, I hear you calling me. I know what you want me to do, but that's not possible. How can I serve you in that way when you have made me a female, and a Catholic? I can't do this, Lord. How do you want me to serve in that way? Maybe I'm misunderstanding and you want me to be a nun. My parents said, no daughter of ours is going to be a nun. And they were right. I would have made a terrible nun. Absolutely terrible. Because I see it in my younger daughter. I'm a little headstrong. I tend to want to do things my way. And you can't do that. But the time came when it was my husband who pushed me into answering that call, who said, "All right, I've been hearing you talk about ministry for as long as I've known you. It's time to either fish or cut bait. Either do it or stop talking about it." And I said, "Well, Lord, I've run out of excuses. I'm still female, but now I'm a Lutheran, and my youngest child has now gone on to college, and I can't find any other ways to say no." And so I didn't. I went on to seminary. And then God kept sending me in strange places that I wasn't sure I was supposed to be. The very first year of seminary, there was a class to take that's called Christian Public Leader. Used over at Luther Seminary, we had to do that. It's like a mini internship. And I knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the church just the next town over. And I went over there and talked to the pastor, who told me to come back in a couple of days. And I did. And that pastor told me, "No, I can't take you on right now. I have too many other things to do. But I've been talking to other pastors, and there's one who would really love to have you in Palm Desert, an hour and a half away. But I don't want to go to Palm Desert. Do you know the traffic in Southern California? Lord, you've got to have something closer than that for me. I don't want to go to Palm Desert." And I tried. I tried finding other pastors who were closer by who would take me. And there weren't any. Every one of them told me no. And so I went to Palm Desert and had the most wonderful mentor. Answered all my questions, gave me lists of ways to do things. And I was enjoying it so much that I thought, this is where I want to be for my second semester. I'll just stay right here where it's comfortable. And then that pastor said, "You're going to have to find another place to go, because I'm taking a call in a different state." So I went back to the very first pastor who at this point told me yes. That pastor was an Episcopal priest who was serving a small Lutheran church and an even smaller Episcopal congregation. And it is because I was there at the time that I was that I'm here now. Because it was that experience that gave me the ability to take a call to serve two different congregations that wanted to be served by one pastor. When I heard that we had to do hospital chaplaincy work, I knew where I was going to go. I was going to go to Loma Linda Hospital, just down the street and around the corner, literally from my house. Sure, I'm going to do it. I was so certain. And I wanted to make sure that this was going to happen. And so I took my application, and I hand-delivered my application. And I waited and waited and waited, and then checked on it and found that they had lost it. I had hand-delivered it. They remembered I'd been there, but they lost it. And the deadline had passed. And so I started looking for another place to go, and the nearest one was more than an hour away from home, and they didn't have any openings. And I thought, "Lord, what am I supposed to do now?" And in the middle of the night, because that seems to be when these things happen, I heard, "Why don't you look at Oklahoma?" Oklahoma? What are you talking about, Oklahoma? It's see what there is in Oklahoma. That's the craziest thing I've heard of lately. And I looked, and there indeed was a hospital, Oklahoma University Medical Center in Oklahoma City, and I applied. And the next day, they called and told me that I was accepted into their program in Oklahoma. This is not down the street and around the corner from my home in Southern California. And so I called a friend of mine who lives in Norman, Oklahoma, and asked if I could stay with her for the summer, and I did. And the things that I learned there, not only being in that hospital, the only level one trauma hospital in the state, but being with my friend and being able to explore all the Lutheran churches that I could, sometimes two of them in a day, even though I worked the 12-hour fun shift on Saturday night. And sometimes after my shift was over, I would go to the parking lot and just rest my head on the steering wheel of my car, and then went to church. But what I learned from going to visit all of those churches and my friend's Baptist church showed me a lot about hospitality and other things that I needed to know. And then for internship, I had no idea. It's like, Lord, I have no clue where you're going to send me. And so I applied to 8 different places and interviewed. 2 of them were absolute no's. No way, Lord, am I going there. And then I ranked the others. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Number 6 was Aberdeen, South Dakota. Where did God send me? Aberdeen, South Dakota, number last on my list. Not because I didn't want to go there, but because I was so sure that God was going to send me to wherever God wanted me to go. And God did. And I had a wonderful experience on internship. A group of us got together on Zoom that year because it was a year of COVID when we weren't even sure that we were able to go on internship. And so we talked about our experiences, and I tended to go last because they talked about how horrible their experiences were. One of them left after 6 months because she couldn't stand it anymore. And I kept wanting to just hold back and say, for some reason, God is giving me a wonderful experience here, and I have no complaints. And then I was sure that I wanted God to send me wherever God wanted me to go for my first call. And so when I filled out my paperwork, I didn't specify where I wanted to go. And my bishop said, why don't you put something down? I said, I really don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. He said, why don't you put something down? He said, you want to stay near your mother-in-law, and she's in North Dakota. So why don't you say that you want a preference for Region 3? That's the Dakotas and Minnesota. I said, well, I don't know that I want to do that, but I'll list my preferences because you asked me to, and so I did. And so my preferences were to remain in South Dakota or go to Eastern North Dakota, Western North Dakota. And then because I know that they had been talking about some churches out in Wyoming, I put down Rocky Mountain Synod. When I received the call from the bishop saying that I'd been approved for ordination and assigned to the Rocky Mountain Synod, I said, I understood the first part of that. But the Rocky, I'm going where? Rocky Mountain Synod? If you would ask me when I began my journey in seminary where I didn't want to go, do you know where I would have told you? Rocky Mountain Synod. Because I never wanted to go to Utah again. That's another whole story. I spent my teenage years in Salt Lake City, and I didn't ever want to go back to Utah. There was no way I wanted to be assigned to Rocky Mountain Synod, and here I am. Because God has a way of surprising us when we answer that call. God sends us not where we want to go, but where God wants us to be. In our reading from Galatians, we hear that the Christian is free. When we think of freedom, we tend to think that it means we can do whatever we want. But that's not what freedom means. It doesn't mean free to do whatever we want. It means free to serve our neighbor and free to serve our God by serving our neighbor. Martin Luther, in his Freedom of a Christian, said, the Christian is a completely free Lord of all, subject to none. The Christian is a completely dutiful servant to all, subject to all. And he further stated, one thing and one thing alone is necessary for the Christian life, righteousness and freedom. And this is the most holy word of God, the gospel of Christ. What must be believed? It is this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there is no one who is righteous, no one who does good, for all have turned aside. Altogether they have done worthless things. By this knowledge you will realize that you need Christ, who suffered and rose again for you, in order that, believing in him, you may become another human being by this faith, because all your sins are forgiven and you are justified by another's merits, namely by Christ alone. So the law convicts us, showing that we are all sinners, regardless of how we struggle to do what is good and what is right. The law shows us our need for a Savior. And we see that in Galatians. We see that list of vices. And we see that list of fruit. As one commentator noted, in Greek, fruit is singular. And what it means is that the fruit really is love, and all the other characteristics follow from it. The fruit. Whose fruit is it? It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit working and growing in us, through us, and very often in spite of us. We hear in our gospel Jesus' call, and how some couldn't answer it because of their excuses, and others thought that they knew what Jesus wanted of them, but that apparently was not their call. We heard it last week in our lesson involving the man healed from demons, who wanted to follow Jesus and was told, no, go home and tell everyone what God has done for you. God calls us in different ways. He doesn't call all of us to physically leave our families and travel 1,000 miles away. He calls most of us to stay right in our communities and do the work that he wants us to do right here. I've seen the fruit of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. The love that you have for those in the community. I've seen you as you work in the food pantry, as you work here at the church, doing little things, doing big things, stepping up and doing the will of God. So take a moment right now and listen for the voice of God calling you to do the next good thing. Not the thing that you think God wants you to do, but the thing that God really wants you to do. Lord, let us listen as you call us to follow you in the way that you want us to follow you, to realize that sometimes you lead us in places we don't necessarily want to go, but that the path that you send us on is always the right one if we but listen and follow. Amen. And let us join together in our hymn of the day, Will You Come and Follow Me, number 798. profess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. God of faithfulness, set the face of your Church firmly on you. Rooted in your self-giving love, may the Church find freedom in loving our neighbors. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of gentleness, strengthen the earth's ability to heal. Where there are dangerous storms, bring calm. Where there are destructive fires, bring rain. Protect homes, habitats, and livelihoods threatened by climate disasters. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of peace, guide all who govern, that they place the good of their citizens above self-promotion. Anoint leaders of nations with your spirit of neighborly love. Protect refugees and all who live under tyranny or conflict, especially the people of Ukraine and other areas where there is war. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of gentleness, reveal your healing presence to all who are sick or dying, especially those who are on our prayer chain and those we name either aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Uphold those who grieve. Support the needs of any who are unemployed, hungry, or have nowhere to lay their heads. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of love, attend to those struggling with addiction, depression, or uncontrolled anger. Provide support systems and loving companions as they work toward health, that they may rest in hope and know the fullness of joy in your presence. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of joy, we give thanks for all who have died and now celebrate the inheritance of life in you. Keep their examples of faithfulness always before us, that we trust your promises in life and in death. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending in your offerings to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, We Give Thee But Thine Own, number 686.
Look. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God. You have refreshed us with the healing power and purpose of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the blessing. As we are sent out in mission to the world to love and serve our neighbor, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, Lead Me, Guide Me, is number 768.